All right, so you send over these reports for John, Devin, and Angela,
Yeah.
and we're diving into how to make them a better team. Which
Exactly.
I love this stuff, right? So we're handing people a decoder ring for their coworkers.
It's like having a cheat sheet, right?
Yeah, totally.
Before you go into that project, you can kind of get a sense of like, okay, how is this person going to react if I say this?
Right, or just like, oh, that's why that meeting went sideways,
Exactly.
because that's how they deal with conflict. Okay, so before we jump into John, Devin, and Angela
Okay.
specifically, can we do a super quick like recap?
Yeah, sure.
What are we even talking about when we say conflict styles?
So conflict styles are basically the way that people naturally approach disagreements. And I think a lot of times people hear conflict and they think like negative.
Yeah, like a knockdown, drag out fight.
Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't,
It's
though.
just disagreements.
And it's often very subtle. You know, it can be like a difference in opinion on a project or, you know, even just like how to approach a problem.
Okay, so how do these reports actually categorize how people deal with those disagreements? Break it down for me.
So they use these five main styles. And you've probably heard of these. You know, it's avoiding, accommodating, compromising, directing, and collaborating.
Okay,
Yeah.
and I think the important thing you said is that none of these are good or bad. They're
Exactly.
just different approaches.
Yeah. It's about understanding, like, okay, when is this a strength? And when is this, you know, maybe not the best approach?
So it's not about labeling someone as like the avoider on the team. It's
Exactly.
about understanding that in certain situations, they might default to that style.
Exactly.
And maybe there's a different way to approach them.
And that's where, you know, having these reports can be so helpful.
So can we try it out? Let's jump into one of these reports and see how these styles actually play out.
Let's do it.
Who are we starting with?
Let's start with John.
Okay, John. So his report, I'm seeing a lot about collaborating and compromising.
Yes. He's definitely someone who, you know, he wants to find solutions that work for everyone.
Like a team player,
Yes, exactly.
but also wanting to make sure that like we're hearing all the different sides.
Yes. And particularly, this comes out in those high stress situations.
What do you mean by high stress?
So these reports, they look at two different kind of like modes that people go into. There's like the calm mode, and then there's storm mode.
So like if a project is going off the rails.
Exactly. Deadlines are approaching, tensions are high. That's when those storm modes really come out.
Okay, so in those moments, John's instinct is to dig in and collaborate even more.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that every angle has been considered.
But I imagine that could be a double-edged sword, right?
It definitely can.
Like, what if you need to make a quick decision?
Exactly. And that's actually one of the triggers that's highlighted in John's report.
Okay, explain this whole trigger thing.
So a trigger is basically anything that might throw someone off their game.
Push their buttons a little bit.
Exactly. And for John, being rushed into a decision when he's still in that analysis mode, that's a big one.
So if I'm in a time crunch and try to push John into a quick decision, I'm basically asking for trouble.
Let's just say it's not going to bring out the best in him.
Okay, that's good to know. So knowing this about John, how can I like work with his style instead of against it?
Well, it's not about changing who he is. It's about creating an environment where he can thrive.
So more about adapting my approach.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm starting to see how this is more than just understanding the report.
Yeah.
It's also about being aware of my own tendencies and how they interact with others.
You got it. Self-awareness is key.
Okay, I like it. So we've got John figured out, wants to collaborate, but don't rush him. Who's up next? All right, Devin. Let's jump into his report.
So Devin's report, this one is interesting because on the surface, he seems pretty similar to John,
Yeah, I was thinking that.
especially in those like high pressure moments, you know, both big on collaboration, finding that win-win.
Right, wanting to make sure everyone feels good about the solution.
Exactly. But there's a key difference in their triggers.
Oh, okay. So how is Devin different? What might set him off?
Devin's all about fairness. Like, he wants to make sure everyone has a voice at the table, and he's really sensitive to anything that feels, I don't know, dismissive, you know?
Like if you shut down his ideas without really considering them.
Yeah, or if he feels like his contributions aren't valued.
Ouch. Yeah. That can sting.
It can, and I think in a team setting, that can be tough.
Right, because you want people to feel comfortable sharing their thoughts.
Exactly. But at the same time, you got to be able to move forward.
Right. You can't explore every single idea in detail.
Exactly.
So how do you balance that? How do you make sure someone like Devin feels heard without, like, getting bogged down?
Communication is key.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, like, what does that look like practically?
So let's say Devin throws out an idea.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily the direction the team's going in.
Right.
You acknowledge it. You say something like, hey, Devin, I really appreciate you bringing that up. We're going to explore this other path for now, but your perspective is valuable.
So it's not just about saying, good idea, moving on.
Yeah.
You're actually, like, validating their contribution.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that. It's a small tweak,
yeah,
but it makes a big difference.
It really does. Okay, ready for Angela's report?
Yeah, let's do it.
This one's really interesting.
Because it almost seemed like the opposite of John's and Devin's, right?
Right. So we've got John and Devin, both super into collaborating, especially under pressure.
Right.
Angela, not so much.
Yeah, she's more like, let's just get things done.
Exactly. She's very action-oriented, very decisive. Her go-to in a storm is to take charge, be directive.
But then there was also that bit about avoiding, right?
Right. And that's where it gets interesting. It seems like a contradiction.
Yeah, like, why would someone who takes charge also want to avoid conflict?
Because for Angela, it's not about avoiding the situation.
Okay.
It's about needing space to process.
Interesting.
Like, if you hit her with a problem, her instinct might be to go quiet.
So it's not that she doesn't care or wants to ignore it.
No, not at all.
She just needs a minute to, like, gather her thoughts before jumping in.
Exactly. Think of it like she needs a little time to, like, download the information.
So with Angela, it's also like she needs a minute to, like, reboot before she can really engage with the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like, processing time.
Okay. But that's tricky, right? Because in a team setting, you don't always have time for someone to go offline when things get tough.
And that's where communication is key.
So how do I approach Angela in that kind of situation? Let's say, you know, we're in a project meeting and something's gone wrong.
Okay.
How do I approach her knowing that her instinct might be to either take over or shut down?
So you acknowledge the situation.
Okay.
But then instead of immediately jumping into solutions.
Yeah, like, all right, Angela, how are we going to fix this?
Right. You give her that space to process.
Okay. So what does that sound like? Give me the words.
You could say something like, okay, team, we've hit a bit of a snag. I want to make sure we all understand what's going on before we start brainstorming solutions. Angela, can you walk us through it?
Uh-huh. So I'm giving her a task, which plays to that directing side.
Exactly. You're basically saying, hey, we need your leadership here, but in a way that helps us gather information.
Okay, that's brilliant. So I've avoided the potential trigger by framing it as a request instead of a confrontation.
Exactly.
Love it. Okay, so we've unpacked each person individually, but now I'm really curious, because you know where I'm going with this, right? Like, how do these three very different people
work together?
Yeah.
It's going to be a dance.
It is, especially because they all seem to have such different approaches to, well, everything.
And different triggers.
Right. Like, John wants to talk it out, Angela might shut down, and Devin just wants to make sure everyone's voice is heard.
Yes. And you can see how that could easily create conflict.
Yeah. If you're not careful, those team meetings could get interesting.
To say the least. But this is where, you know, having this knowledge is so powerful.
Okay. So let's say I'm managing this team. What's my first move? How do I set them up for success?
Honestly, have a conversation about it.
Wait, really? Like, sit them down and say, hey, guys, we got your conflict style reports back.
Yes. Well, maybe not like that.
Okay, good.
But the idea is to get it out on the table.
So they understand why they might butt heads sometimes.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be a big formal thing. You could even just say, hey, John, I know you're really great at, like, diving into the details. So maybe on this project, we can build in some extra time for brainstorming before we make any decisions.
Right. Because otherwise you're going to have Angela tapping her foot, ready to make a move, while John is still analyzing the problem.
Exactly. And then Devin's going to be like, hey, what about my ideas?
Oh, this is giving me so much anxiety.
But that's the thing. It doesn't have to.
It doesn't.
No, because now you have this awareness, right?
Sure.
You can anticipate the potential problems and head them off at the pass.
So it's like that whole knowledge is tower thing.
Exactly. And the best part,
right,
it can actually make your team even stronger.
How?
Because when you understand each other's strengths and weaknesses,
yeah,
you can start playing to them.
Oh, okay. Like, Angela, we need you to take the lead here. Bring that decisiveness. John, we need you to really dig into this problem, make sure we're not missing anything.
Yeah.
Devin, we need your diplomacy to make sure everyone feels good about the direction we're going.
Yes, exactly. And suddenly, those differences that might have caused conflict
become assets.
They become what makes your team amazing.
Okay, I am so here for that.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listener to take away? What's the action item here?
Don't be afraid of those differences, of those conflict styles. Lean into them, understand them, use them.
Because a team that can navigate those differences.
That's a dream team.
On that note, we'll leave you with this final thought. The next time you're feeling that tension rising in a team setting, take a deep breath, remember what we talked about today, and see if you can shift your approach. You might be surprised by the positive ripple effect it creates. Until next time, happy collaborating.